Good day, Petersburg. I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And I'm Matt Lichtenstein, too.
No, you're Joe Vicnicki.
I'm Joe Vicnicki.
You are. Good for you, Joe. You know your name. And this is the Apocalypse Edition of Crabbait Radio, KFSK's 2012 can of crab-based comedy.
It's Crabs Gone Wild. Coming up, the secret lives of South Harbor sea lions.
Invasive species in Little Norway.
It's extra innings at the Board of Fish.
You otter be in pictures.
Tsunami debris hits the junk beach.
And all the crabs that can occupy your pot. But first, this news.
Local police are investigating the apparent theft of several of Petersburg's streets and sidewalks. Officials say asphalt and concrete have gone missing in parts of the downtown area, along with North Nordic Drive, sometime in the last month or so. No one saw the thieves making off with the streets and sidewalks. However, crews are working overtime to repair the damage and repave those roadways.
An audio tape has surfaced that may shed some light on what caused this year's elision between the state ferry Matanuska and the Ocean Beauty Dock in Petersburg. It was purportedly recorded on the vessel's bridge moments before the accident. Let's take a listen.
We are approaching the terminal, Siri. What next?
Turn sharply to port.
But we're not quite there yet, Siri. Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Now make the turn.
But it looks like we're...
Are you questioning me? I'll have you shoveling coal for the boilers. I'll keel haul you. Damn your eyes, man. Now turn.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Crabbait Radio has yet to confirm the authenticity or origin of this tape. Meanwhile, repairs to the Ocean Beauty Dock have been delayed since the site was named part of the Alaska Marine Highway's scenic byway.
In other news, the state of Alaska has released updated population numbers for the cities and towns of Southeast. One of the biggest surprises is a large population increase in the small nearby community of Porcupine Point. The community's mayor, Prickly Pete Penske, says they've had some real big population swings in the past year.
They couldn't take it anymore here, but turns out a little later on, Carol just couldn't take Ned anymore, so he moved back, and then Carol comes back with a whole new family, some guy and his kids she met down south, and they moved in. Well, of course, Ned, he wasn't too happy about that, so anyway, so he moves, he up and leaves, and then, well, overall, we ended up with a few new people for the year, so, but we're gonna miss Ned.
Porcupine Point planners pledge plenty of projects to provision the prolific populace post-haste.
A new phenomenon is hitting America's forests, much like the infuriated drivers on our nation's crowded highways. Hordes of lost, out-of-shape hikers are screaming for an easier way out of the woods. Psychologists call this affliction roadless rage.
Get out of my f***ing way, you damn squirrel! Ah! Good! Ah! Where's my damn granola? I can't find my corp around here. Where the hell am I?
Roadless rage takes a particularly heavy toll in the fall when scores of angry hunters take their aggression out on the region's moose and deer populations.
Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute is coming up with new ways to market the catch of halibut, which has been getting smaller and smaller every year. ASME Chief Leslie Lookingood says the drop in size is opening up some real marketing possibilities.
One of our most exciting new products is the 10 Little Halibut in a sardine can with mustard sauce.
Restaurants are also now serving Halibaby Beer Bit Bites and Baby Butt Bites. Also, Baby Halibut Dried Up are also doubling as ping pong paddles and a tasty snack in table tennis crazy China.
And in other news, there's been an upset in the Petersburg elections where multiple write-in candidates have won seats on a variety of local boards and commissions. That includes the hospital board, where two seats will be filled by write-in candidates Snooki and Arnold Schwarzenegger. A Mr. Jesus H. Christ will apparently be serving on the Parks and Recreation Board. Meanwhile, successful Planning and Zoning Commission write-in, Mick E. Mouse, says he's looking forward to the work.
It's time we crack down on all these building code violations. And no more variances.
The commission's other empty chair will be taken by write-in candidate Clint Eastwood.
Officials with the state's local boundary commission have discovered it may be more difficult to dissolve the city of Petersburg than they originally thought. The plan has been to dissolve the city if voters approve the creation of a new Petersburg borough this winter. However, a government specialist, Arthur Bulletin, says so far the city of Petersburg has been resistant to all the usual solvents.
That includes vinegar, turpentine, chlorine, hydrochloric acid, boric acid, and Mountain Dew, probably the more powerful of the solvents we could use, and that's turning out to be one stubborn little city.
Next up, the commission will experiment with soaking the city in lutefisk and aquavit.
Crabbait Radio on KFSK is brought to you by Joe Vicknicki's favorite website, MyLittlePony.com. MyLittlePony.com, Joe Vicknicki's safe place since 1999.
Everyone's well aware that Petersburg wants a new police station and a new North Harbor, but the priority list is a little longer than that. Crabbait reporter Matt Lichtenstein has a look at some of the less publicized projects on Petersburg's state funding wish list.
Petersburg's Dockside Airbag Project is ranked at number 7 on the list. City Councilor Paula Tisch is a big proponent.
We're covering the entire waterfront with self-inflating air mattresses. So far, we've finished upgrading the port facility, and oh look, here comes the Matanuska now. And here come the airbags.
Welcome to Petersburg.
See? Works like a charm.
At $650 million, that project will be slightly less expensive than number 8 on the priority list, and that is the Taj Mahal City Hall. City architect Stone Wall says the new municipal building will be bare bones.
Actually, the bones will be buried underneath the city council antechamber. Right now, the preliminary design includes a basic white marble dome with prefab minarets. The city council was concerned about costs, so we had to scale back the size of the reflecting pool in the finance department, and we had to go with semi-precious stones rather than actual gems for the inlay on the walls around the council chambers and Moonlight Garden. Also, there's only one point.
Coming in at number 33 on the priority list, there's the Taj Mahal Harbor, complete with moving walkways, gold-plated cranes, and finger floats shaped like giant fingers. The city is a little short of funds for that project, so engineers expect they'll only be able to build a Taj Mahal instead of a Taj Mahal harbor. That's a disappointment to skipper Sandy Seacock, who was looking forward to the new espresso bar on B Float.
I mean, if a guy can't even get a skinny decaf spiced pumpkin latte macchiato when he ties up, what's the point in even having a harbor?
Meanwhile, the Petersburg Economic Development Council is working on the design for the city's 83rd ranked project, the Taj Marine Haul Out and Boatyard. For Crabbait Radio, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Lofty and Wendy join the crew. Bob and the gang have so much fun. Working together, they get the job done. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Bob the Builder, yes we can.
Four. We can't take it anymore.
I'm mad as hell. I can't take it anymore.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Do you have a moment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what are you protesting here today?
I represent the 72%, and we're not going to take it anymore.
I don't understand. Take what?
We're not going to take the lies being propagated by the 26%.
Free Norman Root Wall.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
They used to be part of the 47%, and now they're just a faction of the 2%. And you can't believe what they say. They don't care anything about us.
Stop the insanity!
What?
It's simple. They're ruining the country. Unless you're with the 51% of the people that are ruining this country, you should know what I'm talking about.
I can tell you with certainty that 100% of this reporter has no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, that's right. You're the media. You people in the media, you're all in the pocket of the 17%ers. I mean, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Why don't you stop being such a parasite, such a mouthpiece for the 22%ers and start doing some real reporting, do some investigations, talk about the corruption going on with the 65%.
Down with the establishment.
Up with people.
Corporations are people.
Power to the people.
Get your hands off my handy wife. Well,
okay, I kind of get it. So what you're saying is that if the 10% and the 8% could just work together a little bit, alongside with the 39%, as long as the 99%ers and the 1%ers are willing to drop their claim about the 62%, would that work?
Why does everything have to have a label with you people? Look, all we're saying is that the 7/16ths and the 9/32nds and the 23% of people in this country They shouldn't be marginalized. I mean, you know, when our politicians are pandering to 31%, you know, at the margins of society, they don't care anything about the other 42%. Did you get all that?
Oh, about 17% of it.
One, two, three, four. Why does everybody starve? One, two, three, four. We can't take it anymore. One, two, three, four. We can't take it anymore. One, two, three, four. We can't take it anymore. One, two.
And we're back. Thanks for joining us for the opening day of the 77-day Board of Fish and Shellfish meeting here at the Sons of Norway Hall in beautiful downtown Petersburg. It's a great day for the Board of Fish. And if you're just joining us, Board Chair Carl Johnstone of Anchorage has worked himself into a little bit of a jam here. He's gotten mired down in committee substitute language on Proposal 141, and he's staring down the other board members.
Yes, Joe, Johnstone is a four-year veteran of the board. He's out of the University of Arizona, and as most people know, he's got a long history in and out of Alaska's Superior Court system.
Well, we'll not get into that right now, Matt. For now, Johnstone is giving the hairy eyeball to John Jensen of Petersburg, who's taken a few steps away from his seat. Looks like he's fixing to steal seconds from the buffet table behind him.
Yeah, I don't blame him. He's probably going after some of those fish balls. Who knew fish had balls? But they're delicious. Delicious.
Well, that may be, Matt, but we've got a proposal on the floor, and Jensen's really in his element right now. This is his home court where he got his start in passing fisheries regulations as a young boy. And hometown gal and Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell is watching the action from the owner's box, and the locals are really fired up. And it looks like Bill Brown of Juneau may be supporting the regulation change. He's not happy about it, but he's going to support it anyway, I think. Hold on, they're in consultation with staff right now. It's hard to say which way it's going to go. While we have a moment, Brown's a left-hander and a sport fisherman out of Texas Christian and the University of Colorado. His teammates call him the economist, but that's neither here nor there.
I think they're going to vote on it.
I think you're right, Matt. Yep, there it is. It passes! So the judge from Anchorage has got himself out of that pickle. We'll be right back with shrimp proposals after this word from our sponsor. Crab Bait Radio's Big Board of Fish coverage brought to you by Big Bob's Bait and Tackle. For all your night crawler needs, come on down to Big Bob's. Now up at the podium for the Board of Fish, Tom Klubert of Talkeetna. In only his third year on the Board of Fish, he played his college ball at Oklahoma.
And you know what they say about the only two things that come from Oklahoma, Joe?
No, Matt, I don't think they say that anymore. Anyway, Klubert is pushing a proposal to require that shrimp can no longer be called jumbo because, well, it's an oxymoron.
That's no way to talk about the Board of Fish, Joe.
At any rate, he's hearing it from the public on this one and trying to change the name to elephant shrimp or mastodon shrimp, and it's up for a vote. He's going back all the way to the wall. Nope, it looks like that proposal has failed.
Oh, he's going to be feeling that one tomorrow.
Well, they've taken action on 143 out of 2,796 proposals. We're still in day one of deliberations, and it looks like this one could go into extra innings. So keep it tuned right here to around-the-clock action with Alaska's Board of Fish.
The Occupy movement has spread to the living rooms of Southeast Alaska. It appears one man is entering his fifth week of protesting by remaining firmly entrenched in his favorite barca lounger, camped out in front of the big screen and getting up only to visit the restroom and make a plate of nachos. Crabbait Radio's Matt Lichtenstein is on the scene at Bob Kraske's house for an exclusive interview.
Mr. Kraske, what are you protesting today?
Get out of the way. The dolphins are first and goal to go.
So this is some kind of save the whales message?
Get in there. Get out of the way. I can't see.
Oh, I see. You're campaigning for the blind.
How could the refs miss such an obvious holding call?
I'm getting the sense that you're making a statement about the injustice of it all.
Buccaneers and Steelers, who wants to see that?
Okay. Corporate greed, that's the issue. You know, don't hold back. Go ahead. You know, we want to hear the truth.
No, don't take a knee. I need those points. One last screen pass, for goodness sake.
Mr. Kraske, at this point, I'm a little confused. I'm not sure I understand what you're talking
about. It's like they aren't even trying this week. That's it. I'm through with those bums.
Mr. Kraske, could we just turn off the TV for a second for a quick interview?
As much as just touch that television, I'm going to jam this TV tray so far up your left nostril. You can quote me on that.
Well, as you can see, the protester at the Occupy Living Room event is in a foul humor and could use a little help developing his message. However, for now, he seems firmly entrenched and committed to his cause, whatever that may be. For Crabbait Radio, I'm Matt Lichtenstein. Beachcombers on Midcalf Island are bracing for an estimated 375.3 million pounds of debris from the Japanese tsunami that's expected to wash ashore any day now. Crabbait Radio's Joe Vignicki is live at Hungry Point, keeping an eye out for the first arrivals from across the ocean. Joe, have you seen any debris yet?
Matt, the beach itself is littered with debris. Old forks, broken bottles, boot soles, toasters, there's an occasional bicycle. It appears the tsunami debris has already made landfall.
Wait a second, Joe, are you at the site of the city's old dump?
Yes, so some of this stuff, or maybe all of it, may not be the Japanese tsunami debris. It'll take some time before anyone knows for sure. Hold on a sec, though. Here, there's something out there floating in the tide. Wait a sec, I can grab it. Looks like it appears to be a piece of styrofoam. This very well could be the first piece of... No, wait a second. It has some writing on it, and it's in American. It says Norman Rootwad on it here. Yep, I believe this is a piece of styrofoam that at one time or another belonged to Norman Rootwad. Wait a second. There's something else out there. Just a sec, a little bit further out. Man, this water is cold. There we go. I have it here. It looks like the container for a package of herring. It may or may not be Japanese. Right beyond that, look, there's something else. Okay, that's definitely a pizza box, and it has a delivery slip on it. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay, no, wait, that too, that says delivered to Norman Rootwad. Okay, there's a banquet chicken box, some coffee grounds, and a filter. It kind of looks like potato peels, maybe. Okay, here's something floating in. Credit card offers. Those two are for Norman Rootwad. And several Victoria's Secret catalogs, the also addressed to Norman Rootwad, and some anti-coastal zone initiative pamphlets. Yes, again, you guessed it, addressed to Norman Rootwad. So it appears that maybe a different tsunami may have swept all of Norman Rootwad's garbage out to sea, so I think we should definitely check in with Norman and see if he's all right. Matt, back to you.
Thanks, Joe. Great investigative reporting.
Scientists are concerned over a steadily growing population of invasive species in Petersburg. While the problem isn't as severe as in some other southeast Alaska towns, local officials are taking some drastic measures to deal with it. Crabbait reporter Matt Lichtenstein has more.
I'm standing in an 8-foot-deep trench here that was once the intersection of Dolphin and Main Streets. This project was once planned as a road reconstruction, but it was repurposed to stop the spread of an invasive species known as Travelus recreationus, or T-Rex for short. Project engineer Vern Balchucker is with me here, and he says the organisms seem to thrive during warmer months.
So we're using the trench to try to get ahead of the situation. Keep the critters from spreading to the downtown shops next summer.
How far do you think you're going to have to go with this?
Well, it's going to have to be all of Main Street by the time we're done.
T-Rex have actually been around for decades. It's only now that scientists have learned to recognize their potential threat to native species. Invasive species specialist Winifred Treacle says they've already overrun downtown Juneau and Ketchikan.
The most obvious sign is the gradual transformation of downtown businesses into jewelry and souvenir shops. That's how T-Rex colonizes its habitat, like a tunicate.
Treacle says the organism is attracted to flashy objects like gold nugget rings and silver-plated ulu knives, as well as moose turd lollipops and cotton poly blend sweatshirts with Alaska's deadliest crabs emblazoned on the front. Here in Petersburg, the signs of T-Rex are a little more subtle, according to Marine Advisory Program agent Rainey Kinwa.
Well, what you're really looking for, Matt, is things like matching raincoats and name tags. Those are a dead giveaway. You can see them. Sometimes they'll be wandering down the middle of the street, maybe asking for directions or asking questions like how far are we above sea level, that kind of thing. A lot of times, maybe they'll just be staring up into the trees looking for eagles.
The invasive species scare has prompted officials to take extreme measures besides the Big Dig downtown. Petersburg plans to move the entire library to a new location this summer and rip out and dredge North Harbor next fall. The state even shut down the South Metcalf Ferry Terminal a few years ago, all in an effort to combat the colonization of T-Rex. But according to local travel agent Bryce Berg, the organisms are simply misunderstood. He says Alaska is responsible for producing plenty of its own T-Rex colonies, which spread throughout the sunnier climes every winter.
Well, they like to go down to, like, Key West and Mexico, Mazatlan, Puerto Vallarta, even Cabo is good. They go to golf courses, Palm Springs, Hawaii, and then they like Thailand, too. Thailand's becoming real popular.
Oftentimes, the Alaska strain of T-Rex can be identified by a ghostly pallor, a Club 49 card, or a Ray Troll t-shirt. For Crabbait Radio in Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Fred.
What are you eating?
That piece of halibut.
It looks pretty good.
I just took a bite out of this guy's ass, too.
Is that as good as the halibut, or do you like the halibut better?
Tastes about the same.
You ever try any of that salmon they put up there on the hangers?
I got a piece of that salmon once. That was good.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Here comes one. Hang on. Just get to the side. Swim over here.
Okay. What do you see?
All right. Oh, no. They're gone. They're going to poke park and stall. I thought they were going to clean their fish. Hey, where's Larry?
I don't know. He's looking a little fat, though.
Yeah. Kind of jolly these days.
You got a lot of necks.
Yeah. I think I only have two necks right now.
You got you. You're working on your third. Third neck. Oh. What did you do yesterday?
I was hanging out. You know, at the red cans.
You went out to the cans?
Yeah. I was trying to get up on one cans. You know that guy Tony. He's kind of a pain up there. He's pushing us off all the time. So I just try to claim my space, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a big. You got to be big to get up on those cans.
I mean, he must have, like, what, three girlfriends up there?
Yeah. Yeah. I swam out to the brothers once. Oh, there's women all over the brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty nice out there.
Sam was asking about you the other day.
Oh, yeah?
She was talking about something with the float plane dock.
Oh, yeah, we had this thing. We were hanging out there in the morning and, you know, making a whole lot of noise, you know, how we get sometimes when he and I are together. But here comes another boat. Wait a second. Just go aside. You go to that side, okay?
Okay.
You go to that side. I'll come over here.
Other side.
All right. Oh, here comes. Okay.
He got a fish.
Oh, yeah, he does have fish.
He got a fish.
Okay. Wait,
Come on, give us the fish.
Yeah.
Come on.
Wait, no. You gotta throw that halibut up in the air and see, they'll start watching you.
Come on, give me that fish. Okay.
Now just wait. Just wait for it. Okay. Okay, I'm just gonna watch this. I'm just gonna go up here. Watch this technique. Watch it. Okay, I'm gonna eye him. I'm giving him the eye. Okay, now I'm gonna turn away. I don't even care, but I'm gonna turn away anyway. Here it comes back. Oh, here it is. Oh, give me some fish. Come on, give me some fish. Come on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give me some of that.
That's mine. You know, you didn't have to take it from me. I would have shared it with you.
That's so good.
Well, I'm gonna go get some more then. That's fine. I'm going to get some more.
Here comes Bud. What's Bud doing around here? Get out of here, Bud. Get out of here.
Bud, that's it. I don't want you here. You get back to the cans, Bud.
Get out of here, Bud.
No, go back to the cans.
Get out of here, Bud.
Yeah. Get out of here. Oh, here's a charter boat. Oh, they got to have fish. Give me some. Come on. I'm going to give you the offer.
I'm going to give you the eye.
It, don't you?
I'm going to give you the eye. Give me some of that halibut. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, they're putting it in their bowl. Look at that. He's throwing it in the tote. He's going to go put it out in the narrows. Now I got to go search for it. Forget it. It's not even worth it. I'm going to wait here. Oh,
boat plane.
Oh, look out, look out, look out, look out.
Coming.
Okay. Oh, you're not supposed to bite the floats of that thing. That tastes like metal?
Yeah.
So what do you want to do tomorrow?
Some more of this.
Sounds good.
Crabbait Radio, no fart or burp jokes since 2010.
As Southeast sea otter population expands across the region, fishermen have called out for relief from the ravenous, furry little mammals. Scientists have started studying the creature's diet and movements, but until now, little has been known about the motivation of the sea otter. Will they stop at nothing? Will they eat us out of house and home? And is there any way people can stop the onslaught? Well, Crabbait Radio's Joe Vignicki sat down this year with a representative from Big Otter, that's the lobbying arm of the Otter's charitable organization, for an exclusive from the Otter side.
Hello, Mr. C. Otter.
Call me C, see?
C?
Just C, you see?
I see. See, let me ask, why is it you're determined to bring down the economy of Southeast Alaska with your incessant eating of our commercial seafood species?
What about my economy, see? And Otter's gotta eat, see? I mean, how do you think I feel? I feel ravenous. I feel like I could eat a horse, you see? You don't have a horse, do you? I think I could eat a horse. I feel like I could eat one. I never had horse before, but I could probably eat one. It tastes like chicken, or I think it tastes like chicken. Maybe paste. I don't know which. I'd eat paste if I had to. I wouldn't like it at all, but I'd eat it. I'd eat paste.
That's my hand. Ow! Let go!
I thought it looked like sausage fingers. Oh, sausage. I could eat some sausages right now. Breakfast patties, patty cakes, cupcakes, cake with sausage on top. Oh, God.
Excuse me, Mr. Otter.
Hold on a second. Yeah. I'd like to order a large pizza to go with everything on it. Two larges with everything. Well, no anchovies, but lots of herring. Just tons of herring. Put a lot of herring on there. And, yeah, it goes to the radio station. Now, let me just check. When you guys say pizza pie... What kind of pie comes with the pizza? It's just pizza? Oh. Well, great. Get it here quickly.
Well, I wonder, C, if Southeast Alaska can really keep up with the expanding otter population and your insatiable appetite.
We'll have to expand, out of the region, go overseas someday. I mean, you're doing amazing things with kohlrabi in Singapore, I hear, and a little fresh radish and some black cod over rice. Oh, I could kill for that. And, hey, when's your cooking show coming on the radio?
Not till Monday, C. By the way, what does the C stand for?
Like the old song says, C is for a cookie, and that's good enough for me. My fur is so warm. It's so soft. Is it warm in here, or can you turn the heat down? I gotta find something to eat around here. I'm starving.
So I know about your proclivity to eat.
My what?
Your proclivity.
That's some kind of new vegetable. Is it in the proclivity family? I think I had some proclivity last week with my Nereocystis and Laminera.
Your tendency to eat urchins, crab, and other seafood, that's been well documented. But do you have a favorite food?
Oh, Doritos. Or maybe kettle chips and cheese puffs. Oh, I could inhale a bag. I could inhale a bag of cheese puffs without even taking a breath. You want to see me do it? You got a bag of cheese puffs? Because if you did, I could really go for some of those right now. I know I'm
See, there have been efforts to increase the hunting on otters to slow the rapid growth of your kind. Has that caused any consternation among the otter population?
I was completely consternated last week, but I took care of it with some beets and prunes, and I'll tell you what, a little bit of bull kelp goes a long way, if you know what I mean. No one wants to hunt us. I mean, who would want to hunt us? I mean, look at how cute we are. Could you really shoot a face that looked like this one? No, you couldn't. Now, if you really want to see something ugly, I mean, look at my friend Sea Lion over there. look at the blubber on that one. Talk about an eating problem. How many necks you working on there, Sea Lion?
Sausage and mustard. While we're in the mood,
GrabBait Radio is brought to you by Matt Lichtenstein's ATM PIN 3982. His Social Security number 0195238 24, and his credit card account password Fuzzy Bunny Slippers 77.
And now a few messages.
The Deer of downtown Petersburg are having a potluck and organizational meeting Tuesday morning in the Hersey Garden. They'll be electing officers and stockpiling shrubbery for the winter. Please bring something to go with begonias.
How Gandalf the Grey took over Talk of Alaska is the topic on Talk of Alaska, airing this Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. on KFSK. Call in with a question or comment at 1-800-GANDALF.
And in local cuisine, moose is on the menu at the Elks, and elk is on the menu at the Moose.
And on the school lunch menu today, a crispy pied de cochon, filet mignon au poivre with a delicate quignelli brochette, a selection of three mature low-fat cheeses, and for dessert, a whole grain pâtisserie parisienne.
That's it for Crabbait Radio 2012. I'm Matt Lichtenstein, and Crabbait is produced in the studios of KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg, Alaska, by me and Joe Vignicki. Any resemblance to anything animate, inanimate, or merely imaginary is purely coincidental. Thanks to our extra voice talent this year, including Mindy Anderson, Dave Berg, Sonny Rice, Chelsea Tremblay, Mara Sullivan, and Tyler Lantine,
and Jeff Rice.
And unless the Mayans were right, we'll see you back here next year on Crabbait 2013.
Yeah, okay.